Hey, everybody, just a quick word before we start this week's episode. How would you like to support your favorite podcast by buying an amazing t-shirt or an amazing poster, or by just visiting www.air-raid.net and donating to this fine, fine show? We could really use your help here, people. We need some more equipment for the dining room studios to make things sound better and to make things be better. So why don't you just go to air-raid.net and buy a sweet t-shirt? How's that? All right, enjoy the program. Well, hello and welcome, everyone.
Welcome to Earth.
Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast.
Oh, hey.
This is episode 137.
You have sexually transmitted crazy mouth.
In what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series.
Philip K. Dick, it can't be.
I am your host, Aaron Roden.
You don't want to get mixed up with a guy like me.
And this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes once a week. And boy, do we pretty much have an amazingly awesome show for you today. I'm really, really excited to say that that Galen and Michael from the band Pickwick will be joining us shortly here in the dining room studios. They're back once again to chat with me. And I'm speaking about it in the past tense, or in the forward tense. Wait a minute, in the future tense. But it already happened, actually. And we had a great time. I love it. I love these guys. Just great people. And their new album, which will be out around the country next Tuesday. It is out here in Seattle and the surrounding music stores tomorrow, which is Monday. Can't Talk Medicine by Pickwick. Full-length album, man, and it is excellent. I've had it for a little while. I've been listening to it a lot, and I can safely say that it is fantastic. They've got a great sound going on in this one. We had a conversation after we were finished with the show about what exactly they would call themselves, like what type of music they would categorize themselves in. And Michael had a great, what would you even call that? I don't know, great category for themselves called Garage Soul. And that definitely is very fitting of this album because it's a little bit gritty. They recorded it in their house that they had their practice space in and everything like that. So it just sounds fantastic. And I'm really, really excited for these guys, where they're going to go in the future. So keep your ears to the train tracks on these guys, so to speak. And they're going to be coming to a town near you too. Go to pickwickmusic.com to check out all their tour dates. They're going to be touring for 2 months coming up here pretty soon. Long tour, going to a lot of places. So they'll probably be coming to your city. All right. A lot of things have been going on this week. Boy, just a ton of stuff to talk about in such a short, short time. I went to the Emerald City Comic Con this weekend. It was wonderful. Thank you for coming out. Met a couple of you out there at the Crackle Fest number 3 the other night. Oh, man, it was fun. It was a lot of fun. Let's see. Nerds with Guitars played. They were fantastic from I believe they're from Toronto. I want to say Toronto. Yeah. The Double Clicks from Portland, Oregon. Paul and Storm. And, of course, Kirby Crackle. And it was so much fun. It was so much fun to MC the event once again this year. I had a great time. However, I got up there. I had some comedy jokes prepared. I got up there on stage and proceeded to totally bomb. I totally bombed in front of, 400 plus people. And It was nerve-wracking, I guess. But you know what? I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I had a great time, regardless. The jokes that I chose to do were probably just not geared for the right audience, the audience that was there. It's a nerd music fest that's put on every year during the Emerald City Comic Con, and I should have chose more nerdy jokes to go with. Plus, maybe I shouldn't have wore my super nice suit. I don't know. Maybe they just thought I wasn't one of them. I don't know, man. Even by saying that, I'm not one of them, right? Because I'm grouping them in a different group than I am in. So there you go. Wow. And now I feel bad. I am a nerd, though. I had a great time at Emerald City Comic Con. And we've got a couple of great interviews that are going to come up later this month, probably towards the end of the month, because we got a bunch of stuff slated already for the show. But we talked to Tony Moore, the co-creator and artist for The Walking Dead, amongst many other things. He's going to be drawing for the new Deadpool comic that's written by Brian Posehn. And he's a great dude, and we had a really good conversation. We also talked with Katie Cook, the writer for the My Little Pony comic book, and also I think writer and artist for the Star Wars comic books. She works for LucasArts, and dude, she has some curious things to say about the Star Wars franchise and what might be coming up for all of us Star Wars fans in the future with the upcoming new trilogy due out in 2015. Well, one of the movies anyway, done by Disney. So it was really cool to talk with both of those people, Katie and Tony, and they're just sweethearts. So watch out for that. That's coming up later this month. Oh, boy. A couple plugs that we need to get out of the way here, guys, before we get to Pickwick. We would like you to go to the iTunes, look up the Air Raid podcast, and send us some star ratings, some reviews, if you could. It'll only take you a couple seconds. And in the long run, it helps us out massively because all that stuff really helps in getting the show into, you know, the top 200 listened to shows, the charts, all that good stuff. And people really take notice of that kind of thing. So we do need your help. We need your help, with all that good stuff. So please, if you like the show, even if you don't like the show, go and rate it and review it if you have time. You can also send us emails at... Okay, wait, what? I said that wrong. You can also send us emails to me, at aaron@air-raid.net. And we love hearing from you guys. So continue doing that. Let's see. What else? God, I don't think there is anything else. I don't know. I don't even know what to say. I'm so tired right now. It's Sunday night. I'm recording this late. The kid will not go to sleep. I'm dying, man. I'm dying. It's been a busy week. Oh, Comic-Con. I love Comic-Con. We're going to have a great, great conversation here with Pickwick, with Galen and Michael. God, I can't say enough good things about these guys and the album. So you're going to hear it here first too, right? I think. Anyway. If you haven't seen him play live in a little while. This is off the new album, Can't Talk Medicine. This song is called Halls of Columbia. I think you're really, really going to enjoy it. And go out and get this album. Visit them online, pickwickmusic.com. All right, we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears. Stay with us, everybody.
Yeah!
All right, welcome back. Welcome back to the joy, the show, the joy. I'm not even drinking. I'm drinking coffee. Joining me here in the dining room studios, wonderful to have you guys back, Galen and Michael from the band Pickwick. They've got a new album coming out, what, Tuesday?
Tuesday.
No.
Following Tuesday.
Oh, it's not this week.
It'll come out in Seattle on Monday. Like, people will have the chance to buy it on Monday.
Tomorrow Monday.
But okay. it officially comes out on the 12th.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And you guys are doing a lot in support of that as well. What the shit?
That's a cool notebook, man.
I had all my notes ready. I had another person in here right before you guys got here. And so, yeah, everything's just wrong. Can we start this
over?
Can't
you just press pause?
No, this is live.
Just pause.
Can't Talk Medicine is the new album that you can get online and everywhere next Tuesday, apparently. So looking forward to that, and we're pumping that music in this week's episode. So welcome back, guys.
Thanks a lot for having us.
It's been ever since.
It's such
you guys...
a joy to be back at Joy.
At Joy, yeah. Thank
Joy
you.
Joy Studios.
To exist in joy with you.
Wow. All right.
I remember last time we were here, it was a good time.
Did you have a good time? I
got a little drunk, though, I won't lie. But
that episode was downloaded over 15,000 times.
Whoa.
Yeah.
By people?
By real people.
Actually, by bots. I set up a lot of bots, and just so I wouldn't have to lie when I said that to you, I quoted that number.
We're big in bot circles. Yeah.
No, I appreciate you guys coming back. It's ever since you guys were on last, what, like a year and a half ago, maybe?
Yeah.
I've been nagging you with emails to come back on, right?
Yeah, we've been big time divas ever since. Yeah.
Pretty much.
My bot answers those.
Yeah, Galen's bot answers.
No, but let me ask you a serious question here, guys. Serious question. Did I just start bugging the crap out of you guys with all those emails?
No, it wasn't so
or
bad.
It wasn't so bad?
No.
Because I would wait like a week between emails, right?
No, we just let our minions take care of all
of it. You're the least of my email worries, Aaron.
Am I?
Yeah. My favorite guy is the guy that I've been trying to push off on Michael because he keeps asking me all the chords to the songs, which I have no idea. So I think he kept bugging me so much that I gave him your email.
What?
Yeah.
I haven't gotten a single email from him.
No, he said he sent them to you, and you haven't responded.
Well, because I don't know who that is.
Well, see. So that guy's way more annoying than you.
That's okay. Oh, thanks. He's probably going to listen to this too now.
Probably.
And just be like, "Wow, ouch."
Well,
but,
I mean,
you know, whatever.
Come on, the songs aren't that complicated, right?
Oh no, there's some augmented stuff in there.
What, yeah. Staged?
No.
He wants to know stage and hacienda. There's two chords in hacienda.
Yeah.
It stages what? Three?
I'll give him a tab.
You give him the tab. I'll write out the tab. Yeah, totally. Well, you guys have been super busy since the last time we talked.
Yes and no.
You know what? Let's hold off. Can we hold off on that? Because we were having an amazing conversation right before we started.
Yeah,
and then we just decided that we should be recording all of
that. Let's go back to that.
We're not actually going to talk about the record. Let's just talk about Star Wars. We'll talk about
the record in the second half because, I mean, this is all fresh in my head. I was just at Comic-Con yesterday.
Okay.
And your wife asked me if I went, and I said, no, I mean, I'm not a full nerd. I just like the movies.
I'm actually surprised that you didn't go.
Why?
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of really cool stuff that you can see there, like, you know, from action figures to, oh, holy shit. Okay, so there was this whole, when you walked in, there was this whole level. They opened up the full convention center for the Comic-Con. It was enormous this year.
Nice.
Was Three Yees there?
What's that?
Three Yees? Is that how you say his name? The dude with the three eyes that was in Jabba's palace? Was he there?
Oh, no. I didn't. You know, I haven't seen one of those costumes.
Then it's
was
not
there
a true
ton of,
Comic-Con.
It's not a true
then,
was there a ton of people dressed up?
You know, we went late yesterday. Usually I like getting a lot of pictures of all the costumes and stuff, but I did not this year. Because I think I went a little bit too late in the day
to catch a lot of the costumes.
They've already sweated out all their costumes.
I mean, some of these costumes are super elaborate. You've probably seen some of my pictures that I've posted on the Facebook page or
just the naked ones.
Remember what I said about the emails earlier? Right. No, I haven't seen I haven't seen your Facebook page.
I've been sending them to you. Why aren't they getting there? I don't understand. But some of these costumes are super, super elaborate. And like if you're wearing, you know, 30 pounds of, you know, foam and metal for, you know, 4 hours a day, you're going to take that off at some point.
Yeah.
But they had this whole level with Legos, like homemade Lego sets. And they had a whole Borg ship that was about 5 feet tall.
So it would have given my 9-year-old self the biggest boner ever.
Yeah. And so then they had Hogwarts, and that one was like at least, I would say it was probably maybe 15 feet long and then, you know, 8 feet high. Like it was all done to scale. So it was, oh man, it was just amazing.
So let me make sure I understand the references. So Borg is Star Trek, right?
Borg is Star Trek, yeah.
And then Hogwarts was Harry Potter.
Yeah, the whole castle, like the school thing, you know.
So let it be known here and now that my allegiance is solely to Star Wars.
Yeah. And I'll venture into Star Trek. I'll do that.
Will you?
Yeah, I'll get in there.
I don't do that too much.
Oh, I'll get in there.
There's not a lot of crossover.
I'll talk about Romulans. I'll talk about the Borg, you know. I'll get in there.
Like the original?
Odo. You want to talk about Odo?
I have no idea who Odo
is. Is this original Shatner stuff?
No. You got your next Shatner. Generation. You got your next generation. You got your DS9.
Well, where do you...
So I was
really light up.
I was full fledged next gen.
I think he's lit up right now.
Yeah, I'm pretty lit up now. I mean, I was way in the next generation.
Wow.
And then I stuck with it through Deep Space Nine. I was really into the whole like.
Wow.
Warp.
See, that's pretty.
So you're like this is well into high school. This is like after I've quit Boy Scouts. Oh, you're still watching Star Trek.
No, I was clear. I was clear up. I was devoted clear up until Voyager, and then when they started, like, you know, getting into the Delta Quadrant, I wasn't really down with that anymore, so I just kind of gave up. And
yeah.
So we used to, my grandparents have this summer house in Maine, and when I was, like, 9 years old, my grandma was, like, you know, just going through the TV guide looking for stuff that would entertain me, because I think I was there by myself. My family had left. They had, like, abandoned me to go back to their lives and work. So I'm sitting there with just my grandparents at this, like, summer house, you know, and, you know, there's one TV or whatever.
Yeah.
So she found Star Trek. Yeah. You know, she's like, you know, I'm sure he's going to love this. He's a huge geek. He's 9 years old. Let's put on some Star Trek. She puts it on. And she watched the whole episode with me, like sitting next to me in this, like, you know.
This is James T. Kirk?
Folding
this
chair.
This
is Next Generation.
Yeah, this is the original
card.
This is Next Generation.
Got it.
So she watches it with me, and she goes, at the end of it, she goes, you know, Galen. And her voice is kind of scratchy.
can you do the voice?
That's it.
Yeah.
I just did it. you know, I can't believe how much of a soap opera that was. She was like, I'm sorry that I made you sit down through that soap opera. You know?
Soap opera in the sky.
So what do you have to say about that?
Oh, it's great, dude. If you go to the holodeck, like, that's
okay,
a, that's
yeah,
the thing. The
holodeck,
you know,
is what catches everybody.
What's
right?
The holodeck?
So the holodeck is the dream. This holodeck is this room where you walk in and you can program anything you want to have happen.
Yeah.
So it's like, hey, I want to go hang out in, like, 17th century Japan and, like, play around with samurai
But
swords.
It's just Tupac.
It's just Tupac.
Yeah, you go in, it's just a hologram.
It's
Tupac.
Not like you can really
he's
like.
Just, he's just there all the time.
You can't engage in any coitus with any real 17th century.
No, see, that's where you're wrong.
Brothels. Or, oh,
that's where you're wrong.
So these holograms are sophisticated.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And they.
Oh, there's
they
been know, episodes.
There've been episodes where like Picard will go in there and he's like in France and he's just like hanging out with some lady who's making croissants and
wait. So how does Star Trek is just like far into the future, is that correct?
Yeah, right. Yeah,
okay. So it's so like it's like
Star
America
Trek,
and then all of a sudden Star
no it's
Trek.
Not America, it's the planet Earth has become like very extremely peaceful.
Huh.
And everyone's like united.
Wow.
And
so we figured it out.
Yeah. it was Gene Roddenberry's like hopeful view of the future that we've all figured
it out.
Okay.
And so now we're like exploring, we're not exploring the rest of the universe. The entire Star Trek world is only within the Milky Way galaxy. So
what is that, our galaxy?
Oh yeah, that's it. Are you serious?
Oh my god.
So like,
well, that's what we're dealing with.
What's the name of our galaxy?
The Milky Way.
No, but like, how far does that go? Is that like Pluto is like the end, or it's way bigger,
that's
right?
Our solar system.
That's our solar system.
So
did
how
you take any
how many
sort of astronomy classes in high school?
I took astrophysics in college. No.
What grade did you get?
C.
Yeah. All right. So
do you want me to? Gavin, do you want me to cut all this out?
No.
Do you want me to?
No. I want it all real. This is all. I want my ignorance to be laid bare.
Keep it real. No, dude. So, like, the entire Star Trek.
No. I'm serious.
What? What are you serious about?
So, like, how many other solar systems are in the Milky Way?
We don't even know.
We don't know.
We don't even know.
We don't know.
Because we can't even, like, get beyond Pluto.
No, it's just that there are so many stars, so many different solar systems. It's, like, millions.
But there's just all that stuff in the Huffington Post all the time about additional planets and blah, blah, blah.
Right, but those are just other solar systems
right.
And stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, like, that's... I don't want to get into that.
But it would have been cool if it was just in our solar system.
No, it wouldn't because...
No, because we already know that there's no life on those planets.
So, like...
Is that true?
Oh, God.
Well,
maybe
we don't
edit this out.
We don't know for sure.
Okay, so like for Klingons to be alive, you have to go beyond our solar system.
You got to go beyond our solar system. So like in the Next Generation, for the most part, they're hanging out in the Alpha Quadrant of the Milky Way galaxy. And then in Deep Space Nine, they're still in the Alpha Quadrant, but then there's a wormhole that gets discovered, and I believe it takes them to the Delta Quadrant, I think. And so there's kind of a back and forth. And then in Voyager, they go to another one of
the quadrants. I never realized that it was like split up into these quadrants for these shows.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's kind of loosely what some of the story arcs were.
Right.
About. Yeah,
okay. So. Okay. That's interesting.
Now you know what you're dealing with here.
Yeah. So I feel a lot better that I devoted myself to LucasArts computer games than like
the Star Trek universe. I probably just pissed off a bunch of like hardcore Trekkies though, because I'm not like that into it, but that's my understanding of how it works anyway.
It seems like you got a pretty good understanding of what's
going on.
Well,
it was
here.
Like because on Q13 on Channel 13 on Saturdays, they would show like The Simpsons at like 5:30 6, and then from like 6 until 9, it was just boom, 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 Star Trek.
Yeah, right.
And
right.
You know, my parents didn't want to raise my brother and I, so we just sat in front of the TV, and that was what we did.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
That was a Saturday.
So the last time you guys were on this show, I totally skipped over the fact that you guys were Star Wars fans.
Oh, we didn't talk about it at all.
We didn't talk about it at all. And then when you left, I was like, oh, yeah, I wanted to talk to them about Star Wars.
And this podcast is how long? How did we fill any time?
Wow. I mean, it's basically over right now. Star Trek took up 2 hours. Yeah, this is going to be a two-parter. You guys are big Star Wars fans as well.
Yes.
And as I said before,
like what American male born between 1975 and now?
There are like, everything though, there are varying degrees.
That's true.
Right? Cuz one of my bucket list items, even though I hate that term, but this is definitely a bucket list item.
Why do you hate that
me.
Term?
I don't know, it just seems antiquated. You know? I don't even know what antiquated means.
Didn't
but
that Morgan
that
Freeman movie just come out? I think it's still hot, man.
It's still hot.
What's Buckethead doing these days?
That's actually one of my bucket lists.
Yeah.
Kill Buckethead.
But, wait, he's the bass player of Primus? Is that
no. Buckethead. Man. Buckethead was like the replacement for Slash. With Guns N' Roses. Wasn't so
well, I think a lot of people think Buckethead is Slash because nobody knows who Buckethead is.
Whoa.
He's just this shredding guitarist that wears like a KFC bucket on his head.
So but
he's
and a mask.
He's not in Primus?
He's no, not in Primus. In
so Primus. How did he just like rose to fame on his own with a bucket in his head?
I think he would go on maybe with some bands maybe down in LA and then just kind of made a name for himself because he's an amazing guitarist, but he's totally anonymous.
With a bucket on his head.
Yeah.
Is it a KFC bucket?
It's probably Yngwie Malmsteen.
The Christmas music guy.
Oh my god.
I
so like
I'm gonna stick with Mad Villain on that one.
Yeah.
He's got the whole anonymous thing. Does have that. Is it Mad?
No,
it's Mad Villain, right?
Mad Villain
is he's the person.
Mad Villain's the record that.
Well, Mad Villainy's the record, right?
No, but
what
Mad,
are you guys talking
Mad
about?
Mad Lib's
is
the producer.
The project is Mad Villain.
Okay.
It's
what's
it's
his name?
Mad Lib and I'm drawing a blank.
Oh man,
oh, shit.
What are you guys talking about?
Oh,
I have no
a,
idea what you're talking about.
You ever heard
hip-hop.
That hip hop
oh,
record,
okay.
Mad Villainy? He wears a mask all the time. It's good.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to check
you should
that
put
out.
That on season as your musical interludes instead of us.
Yeah. That's some good shit.
That guy's good.
That would defeat the purpose. Man, you're just full of ideas today,
yeah.
Galen. Yeah. But
visionary.
Like I was telling you guys off air, I got the chance to meet a woman this weekend that that works for LucasArts and she draws and I think she writes some of the Star Wars comic books.
Yeah.
And that was like, I mean, that was pretty cool for me. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're
finding
showing
out
your true colors here.
I am. And one of my, I was telling her too, that one of my bucket list items
I'm
is to have a full scale. I mean, I want the licensed costumes for Boba Fett, Darth Vader, and maybe a couple stormtroopers and a scout trooper or something. I'm going to put them on mannequins.
Yes.
I'm going to have a whole room devoted to yeah, maybe an orgy. Yeah. Yeah.
What's furries, the people that like the,
yeah.
The
furries,
the big yeah.
Furries dress up as like rabbits and stuff.
Yeah, what are the Star Wars people called? Just Star Wars fans.
Just Star Wars fans.
It's all encompassing term.
Yeah. Oh God! But when you guys heard about these new movies coming out, was that pretty exciting for you?
Yeah. No.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
You didn't share. You didn't share in my excitement.
No. I mean, I think that 1, 2, and 3 were so bad that the thought of any more.
Yeah,
I don't know.
He relinquished control.
Yeah, but it's kind of like anymore. My beef with Hollywood is like, you know, you can't just let a good thing lie. Like The Matrix is a great movie, but you know, Matrix 2 and 3 suck.
Oh yeah,
it's
yeah.
kind of like sometimes a movie gets successful and they just try to. You know, take everything away from what made the original great.
Do you think there's a reason why, like, most Star Wars fans stick to the original trilogy and, like, haven't ventured beyond the narrative of those films? Because, like...
You mean reading the books?
Like,
I started
reading one of the books, the one that happens right after Return of the Jedi.
Right.
But I maybe got what? I mean...
You know who's read them all? My brother.
He has.
He's read them all.
So he's familiar with the. He just
everything.
Knows
everything. Yeah. Like everything that we talked about before about like Princess Leia, like becoming a Jedi. It's all come secondhand from my brother.
right.
Like
yeah.
He's who you really should have here talking about.
But but Garrett's not. You know, Garrett's not like a casual anything.
Garrett's a full on crazy nerd.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised you guys weren't holding hands through the ranks of Comic-Con.
Yeah. Comic-Con yesterday?
Yeah. Actually.
I would do that.
He probably was there.
He was probably there dressed as a Jawa.
Yeah.
Sorry, Garrett.
But I mean, is there any, like, of the stories that you've heard about what happens, is there some, like, exciting stuff that we all should...
I don't know. It's like, you know...
See, well, maybe that's what it is. Maybe it has nothing to do with, like, Hollywood, and it just has to do with, like... George Lucas ran out of good ideas within the first trilogy.
Well, yeah, because
you know?
All those books are written by other people.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
You know? It's
my favorite, though.
So he wrote the first three movies. That's his writing. That's like his universe.
Yeah, I think so. He didn't He didn't direct Empire or Return of the Jedi.
Right.
Which is why Empire is
a
far better film.
Right.
But, I mean, that's like his...
Do you like how I called it Empire and not The Empire Strikes Back? I just, like, immediately went to the shorthand.
I do like that.
Yeah. Oh, you know, Jedi. My favorite scene in Jedi is the Princess Leia, you know. Well, it's everybody's... Well, maybe not everybody's favorite.
What,
well,
brass bikini?
It's just a coming...
Slave Leia?
It's a coming of age moment for every young man.
Oh, you know? It truly is.
It really is. It really is.
And then you got like
I'll just leave
Jabba's slimy body right behind her. It's all part of it.
Yeah, it's all part of every young man's adolescence.
It's like... Because then you can say to yourself, oh, I'm not that ugly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, I'm not that weird looking.
But then again,
if
Leia
he
kills,
can get that close.
Yeah, but then then Leia kills Jabba.
If he can have a slave Leia, I can too. Oh,
he is just a giant snail, you know.
Yeah, yeah, so pretty much. Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, but so, I mean,
you're
excited about it, right, Galen?
The three movies?
Yeah.
I am. Yeah. I mean, I guess I probably have more, you know, I'm more interested in the future of Star Wars just because that'll be what my son interacts with.
Yeah,
right,
You have that.
I'm excited for trying to get my daughter into it. I don't know how to do that yet. Because I don't want to push her. I don't want to push her into it.
Well, I've only pushed gently. But like I'll get, he hasn't seen any of the movies,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't want to traumatize him yet.
Yeah, he loves R2-D2.
But he's, you know, he's way into R2-D2. I get him books, you know, whenever we're on tour, I come back with some books and I'm excited for him to interact with just not me talking about it or putting on the actual vinyl record of the story and making him sit down.
Yeah.
my dad pushed it. Like I remember the day, I would think I was like five. And it was a Saturday. I remember it like it was yesterday. He like looked me in the eye and he was like, okay, Michael, you and I are going to do something very special today.
This is awesome.
And I was like, oh God, am I in trouble? What's going on? And he's like, you and I are going to watch Star Wars.
That's awesome.
And he like sat me down.
Your dad's the best.
Yeah.
He sat me down and like, and the scene where, Obi-Wan chops off the dude's arm in the bar.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like my dad was like, hey, you might not want to watch this. But I watched it anyway, and I, you know, loved it. It's great.
Yeah, yeah. I don't remember the first time I saw him.
Yeah,
I can't remember.
I just remember it because my dad made it like a really big deal.
Yeah,
it was like
that's pretty cool.
We're gonna sit down and watch Star Wars.
So your dad's a big Star Wars nerd as well.
Oh, okay. I mean, we could seriously spend this whole podcast talking about Star Wars.
Why do you think I wanted you guys to come back?
No, so the story that my mom always tells is my mom and dad got married when they were in college. And my dad was a year older, and they worked out their wedding, so it was right after my dad graduated, but my mom was taking like a summer class or something. Mm-hmm. So they hadn't really gone on a honeymoon or anything yet. They got married and like went away for like 2 or 3 days, but then came back because my mom had a class. And they'd been married for like 5 or 6 days, and my mom comes back from class to this note that says, and she, you know, she's just newlywed. She's like totally in love with her new husband and just wants to hang out. There's a giant note on the door that says, went to go see Star Wars with your brother. See ya. And like, I guess my uncle who's a much bigger nerd, and he won't care that I say that. He's a much bigger nerd than my dad is. They both just like fell in love with this movie and, you know, like went and saw it. Got back in line, saw it again. Got back in line, saw it again. They like saw it 3 times the day it came out. So that's the lineage that I that I come from.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's basically in your genes.
It's in the genes, man.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I would watch it when it was on TV with my dad.
Yeah.
But mostly my dad would just like be sitting there watching like Born on the 4th of July. And I'm like 5 years old, just walking in and going. And then, like, you know, maybe 15, 20 minutes afterwards, he's like, oh, you're here?
So really.
And then
by that time,
I've, like, I'd already, you know, gotten enough, you know, ammo for years and years of counseling.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
those scenes that I'd seen.
So it's like your dad's sitting there watching.
You just have reoccurring dreams of really depressed Vietnam vets in wheelchairs.
You're
having
your
sex.
Your dad's sitting there watching Born on the 4th of July, and you're like, Daddy, why did Tom Cruise get his penis shot off? And like, why is he peeing through a tube? And like, why is that prostitute so upset that he won't pleasure her?
Why isn't Star Wars on?
Yeah, why isn't Star Wars on?
Can we go back there?
Yeah.
That's why I really cling to Star Wars. Yeah. It's because it's not Born on the 4th of July.
Daddy, please make it stop.
Can we make this more like the cockpit of an X-Wing, please?
Oh man, see, this is what I wanted. This is what I wanted right here. But I'm excited. I'm excited because Disney has had a pretty good track record of making these Marvel movies pretty great. Right? Would you agree?
I don't know. That's not my thing. I don't know.
No?
Whoa.
Yeah.
But I mean, you like those Star Trek movies, right? That's the same guy?
Yeah, same guy. That's the
You like those
You
movies.
Like the reboot of the Star Trek, right?
Yeah, yeah. It was
JJ Abrams.
Yeah. I'm into JJ. I'm not into how he ended Lost, but
Well, that's a whole other story.
Thing, wait, did Sorkin do Lost?
No. Sorkin did West Wing.
What did he do after West Wing? He did The Social Network.
Yeah, and yeah. Yeah.
You're not into Sorkin.
No, I like Sorkin. The West Wing's a fabulous show.
I've never seen it. Oh, I've been told many times that I need to start watching it.
The West Wing is a fabulous show. It's how you know you're officially an adult,
right?
You're just like,
right.
You just want to
like, wow, politics.
Yeah,
are
yeah. You want to sit down.
I can
like,
stand this.
Yeah. Like, I'm gonna get in a snuggie. I'm gonna like get on my PJs. I'm gonna like warm up a nice glass of hot cocoa, and I'm going to watch The West Wing.
You just drink milk.
Yeah,
well, that's a great dichotomy that you just brought up, too, because we're sitting here talking about Star Wars, trying to reconnect with our nostalgic childhood pasts, and then you know, every once in a while you turn on West Wing just so you can feel like an adult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just so that you can convince like women that you're worth their time.
Oh yeah, I watch that. I watch The West Wing.
Yeah, of course. Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, yeah, man, I read books.
What about that sequester, huh?
Okay, so you're not into JJ who made the
Star Trek movies.
No,
I'm into JJ.
So you think he's a fine director to make these movies.
You're going
to
see him anyway, too.
I'm going
to
see him.
You know you're going to go
I'm
and see him.
I'm just I was just so let down by the first by 1, 2 and 3. I mean, those were absolute shit.
Mm-hmm. What about the third one? I know it's just like it's all just connecting plot points or whatever.
The second one, I remember seeing it one time.
I like that one better than the first one.
Yeah, yeah, maybe. I would go with that.
You know,
I mean, they were all so.
I think you're right. I think just like Jar Jar existing in that first one was just like you just had a stomach ache
enough
the whole time.
Yeah, it was enough to just ruin everything.
I mean, I haven't seen that one again, but I've probably seen, you know, 2 and 3 twice each, maybe.
Yeah,
or something,
I don't. I don't even.
The
think
ending
I've done
of
that.
The third one where he gets up out of the.
Yeah, the,
you know,
the magma.
Goes, no! Terrible.
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 So bad.
Oh, God damn it.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's go to, we're going to switch gears here. I promise, guys. Sorry. Let's go to our second musical break here. This is off of the new album by Pickwick, Can't Talk Medicine. This song's called Well Well, and we'll be back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears with Galen and Michael from said band soon. And we won't. We'll stop talking about Star Wars. We'll talk about the ending of Lost next. I'll be back in a moment. Everybody, that was Well Well off of the new album Can't Talk Medicine by Pickwick. And here with us, they haven't left, here in Dining Room Studios, Galen and Michael of the band, back with us again.
We're still here
forever.
Oh, welcome back, guys.
It's so good to be back.
Yeah. So let's switch gears. Oh, joy. Right?
Yeah, joy.
Remember
that time where we went away?
Welcome to joy.
Yeah.
I remember that.
And then we came back.
And then we came back. That was
it was amazing.
It was tits.
Yeah, yeah. I think Stephen King wrote a book about that. Yeah. see, that's how well my jokes went the other night. Yeah.
I think anytime Stephen King comes up in your
people are just
in your stand up set,
they just start slitting their wrists in the front row, drinking their own blood.
Oh man, can we talk? Okay, before we get to the music, I just want to talk about this for a second.
Take your time.
It was brutal. It was brutal, you guys.
So, I mean, give us a couple jokes. What happened?
Oh, okay. So one of my jokes was about. Let's see. It starts off like I really want my daughter to be, you know, I want her to grow up and be a smart kid.
Yeah.
And I'm trying right now, you know, to kind of slowly introduce like science and math into her day to day. And because I look at myself, I think of myself as a man of science.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love science.
It's fine with me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You lost me, but it's fine with me.
Yeah.
That's funny, right? No, that wasn't that's the setup. Now, but I respect science. I respect the people who devote their lives to the pursuit of science.
Yeah.
But scientists are crazy.
Right.
Scientists are crazy.
Right.
And for example, I mean,
think of
the Doc Brown for one. Yeah. That would have made the joke funnier.
Hey,
oh my
man.
God. I mean, it was for a nerd convention. Rock convention. What the shit?
Now you know why you bombed, dude.
Oh my God.
You gotta bring the A game.
You just gotta hang out in a van.
Can
man.
I just call you guys the next time?
Well, yeah. I already have. I want to hear the punchline because have one in my head that is pretty rad.
Oh God! And it's going to be so much better than this one now too. Okay,
I'm sure you're gonna
excel. So for example, like think of the first person who went up into space to test, you know, the effects of zero gravity on the human body.
The monkey.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah, the
monkey.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the first person. The monkey may have been actually first, but the first person.
No, it is crazy.
Who was that? Chuck Yeager.
It's nuts.
Who was that?
It's
what
nuts.
An idiot.
Yeah. Keep See, going. You guys are heckling me right now.
Well,
that's what you're doing.
All right. All right. This is why it went poorly.
Yeah, exactly. There was a heckler, too. So it was my first heckle.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
A nerd heckler.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great.
Was he Chuck Yeager's grandson?
He wasn't. No, he wasn't mean. He was just like yelling things out like that.
Right. So
he was trying to help it along.
So how was our heckling compared to your official heckler's heckling?
Was he related to the monkey?
You guys were funnier. You guys were definitely funnier. Yeah.
Nice.
And I know you. So, so it's it's
right.
more annoying.
All right, we'll get there. Yeah, well shut up. We'll shut up. Just go.
So okay, take this another example.
All right.
Think of the first guy to put on the volcano suit and get as close as humanly possible to hot lava.
Right.
Tom
That's
Hanks.
It's
Tom
crazy.
Tom Hanks in Joe versus the Volcano.
Jesus Christ. I love that movie so much. Can we talk about that movie?
Continue.
Okay.
Meg Ryan?
Meg Ryan, oh, Tom Hanks, man. Joe vs. Volcano, 1987. Go.
Awesome.
That was a pretty good heckle, I think.
That was pretty good, yeah. That was well thought out. That was well planned.
It just came to me.
Yeah.
All right, next. Is there another illustration before it gets to the punchline?
Yes, yeah. No, this is the okay. next one is the punchline.
Okay. Good.
So, but think about the guy that puts on the suit to get as close as humanly possible to hot lava. We spend most of our childhood years trying to stay away from hot lava,
mm-hmm.
the carpet, you know,
yeah, totally.
Sand on the beach. But
I don't think this joke flies if you live in Hawaii on the Big Island or if you're
no,
from...
that's just mean okay. is what it is.
Yeah.
It's like,
or if you have
why are you making fun of my life?
Or if you have an imagination like mine and your mother's underwear was the lava.
Right. Yeah. The dirty laundry laying on the floor was the hot lava.
I want
yeah.
to go to there.
Oh, my God.
Okay, we're ready.
If
ready.
You, okay, so you're still not with me on scientists being crazy. Think of the first person who tested the theory
no, no, no,
of
no,
how...
No. I'm with you on scientists being crazy.
But haven't
you just
seen...
lost me because you
no,
said,
that's part of the,
I'm
that's
a man
part
of science, and then I got bored.
Right. Well, but what about Dante's Peak or Volcano? Like,
oh,
or the Inferno.
Or yeah, the Inferno.
Or Dante.
Yeah, Dante.
Or Dante's Inferno.
Will you please tell the punchline?
I'm trying. So think about. Okay. See, now it's... Oh, God. Think about the first person in the name of science
okay.
who tested the theory on how somebody contracts pink eye.
Oh, yeah. That was
the first person to put poop in their eye.
Yeah.
That guy or that woman deserves a medal because they really took one for the team.
Yeah.
That was the punchline.
I like that punchline.
Was that good?
No, it's good. It feels
you didn't laugh at all.
Okay.
That's what the room was like.
But here's why I'm thinking that people didn't laugh.
Why?
Is that medically the official cause of pink eye?
No, that's not why they didn't laugh.
Because that's why I felt a moment. I felt a moment of uncertainty where I was like, "Wait, am I?" Because I saw that in that movie, Knocked Up.
Right, right. That's what it was from.
But it's not.
I don't think that's medically how you. I think you can probably contract pink eye that way.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that if you put shit anywhere near your face, there are a lot of diseases that you can contract. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say. So that probably is one of the ways in which you can get pink eye.
I mean, I like that joke, but we're gonna have to workshop it.
Yeah,
we'll get back to you.
Okay, will you? Will you please? Yeah, because
we'll send you some notes.
It needs some help.
I just think that the parenting, reading, medically aware community needs to be officially convinced that it is shit.
If there was
going in people's eyes, I think that's the social, what we have to achieve first, and then that joke. We have to make that understanding widespread.
Yeah,
to accommodate this joke.
Oh my god!
And then if there was a way that Pierce Brosnan and Tom Hanks, like Pierce Brosnan in Dante's Peak, and Tom Hanks in Joe vs. the Volcano, when they like encounter the volcano, they somehow like grab their own shit and like put it in their eye, and then
Jodie Foster and then from Contact shows up.
Yeah. And then they like have a love scene that kind of ends awkwardly.
Yeah.
Like,
oh my
god!
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Now we're there.
I like that idea.
Now we're there.
I like that idea. Let's talk about that more later.
And then Christopher Walken shows up. It's going to be great.
That's going to be like the greatest joke in the world.
Yeah. It'll be better.
There will be documentaries about that joke someday in the future.
It'll be epic.
Yeah. But it was tough. It was tough up there.
Yeah, that sounds like a tough room.
Yeah. But I had a great time doing it. It was great.
What was
wonderful.
Were the people like? Had the people seen Knocked Up?
I don't think they had seen anything but old Star Trek reruns.
Well, you can't be pulling Knocked Up out
and Firefly.
But they
should. If that's the audience, they
should know a hell of a lot about Pink Eye, though.
I think they were all scientists.
I'm just.
They were
go,
probably all scientists.
I
so
bet
that's
that
where,
room.
That's where I fell flat.
I bet that room knows a lot about Pink Eye.
Just like at home,
farting on your pillow and then like falling asleep at night, waking up with pink eye. I feel like that crowd knows what that's like.
Yeah, it's like the two states of a scientist: at home, farting on your
pillow, and then at like, work, curing cancer,
or at your Bunsen burner with like your chips or whatever.
Well, moving on,
crisping your Fritos at the Bunsen burner.
Yeah,
moving on.
Moving on.
I like that. That's a good segue, Michael.
Thanks.
So the new album, the last time you guys were here about a year and a half ago, you were just about to embark on recording this thing.
Yeah.
Down in Portland, right? Yeah. You were going to go down to a studio in Portland.
Yeah. We went down to Cottage Grove.
Cottage Grove?
Yeah.
Awesome. Was it great? Was it everything that you guys had dreamed?
You mean you've never been there? It's not your tourist destination of Oregon? You've never been to Cottage Grove?
I'm gonna pretend you didn't say that.
Cottage Grove.
Sorry,
Cottage Grove is cool.
we had that
French spot was good.
Yeah, it is. It's where they filmed The General, the old Buster Keaton film. For all you nerd film aficionados out there, shout out to the silent movie era.
No, the time with Richard Swift was amazing. I mean, he is an incredible producer and musician, and we all love and respect what he does. And he kicked our ass in a thousand different ways, good ways. But in the end, I think we just didn't have enough time.
How long were you guys down there? 10 days?
Yeah. And it was tough. We played a show here in Seattle at the Neptune. And then the day after we were going down to record. And the day after that Neptune show, and we had, we had 10 days to record this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the day after we left, Galen got sick, and
So if, that was
like
productive.
the flu. Yeah.
It was all like, you know, chest congestion.
Oh, yeah.
And so if you're trying to record a record and you're sick, that isn't very conducive.
Don't
so.
Put it all on me, girl.
No. I didn't do the vocals
until the end.
Yeah. But
you
it was
guys,
just
you guys fucked it up at the beginning. The rest of the time at the beginning. But talking about a comedian, he has some incredible bits.
Yeah.
That guy could do stand-up.
That dude's fucking funny.
But it's because he does a lot of accents, mm-hmm. but he has one character that moved to Chicago against his mother's wishes. And then
this character is
in the middle of a 911 call because he just started farting milk.
Yeah. It's that guy.
It's unbelievable.
That character's got an amazing backstory.
Right.
I feel like if that guy wasn't,
he's led an amazing life.
If that guy wasn't the best musician on the planet, he would be a comedy writer or something. He's so funny. Yeah, that guy's so funny.
That's awesome. So you guys had a really good time down there.
We had a great time. Yeah. We just, it was around that time that I think he got his gig with the Shins too.
Oh, okay.
And, so the time that we had down there, like, we needed some more time, and the way that his schedule was all planned out. Like, have you heard that band Foxygen?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think because of you guys.
Yeah.
They were the record
that got recorded right after us.
Okay.
And the Minor Birds.
And then
right
the Minor Birds.
Us.
So he had like all these records and things lined up. And mm-hmm. then once he started doing the Shins thing, it was just hard for us to all get on the same page and like try and get the thing finished. So we ended up having to kind of do a lot of it on our own up here in Seattle.
Right, right. Is that why, and don't take this the wrong way, but is that why it took so long?
I think so.
To put this thing
out? I think so. Like what happened was we had last year planned out, assuming that everything would have gone perfectly.
Right.
And so we had tours planned, and also, you know, just day-to-day jobs and stuff like that here at home that we had to, you know, take care of. So like working on the record got to be kind of this big arduous process where we would work on it for a Saturday, like 3 hours on a Saturday, and mm-hmm. then not get back to it for a couple weeks, and then go on tour and then come back. So instead of being able to devote like a big chunk of time to it, it just got drawn out over about 6 months.
We kind of had both experiences where we like did, you know, what became more the pre-production with Swift.
Yeah.
And then we had the flip side, which was like, you know, doing one day of tracking and then like you have 2 weeks to listen to it and overanalyze it and just kind of be like, you know, is this good? Is this not good? Where I think something in the middle would have been ideal.
Yeah. 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 Is it still exciting? Because leading up to this new album, you guys were getting a lot of attention.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, not to say that attention has gone away, but it has been a little while since that lead up. Yeah. And I remember talking to you guys off air about it and you guys just being super excited about what was coming down the pipes towards you guys. Now, has that excitement kind of subdued?
I don't think so. I think
at all.
I think in a lot of ways it's more exciting now because I think that
now that it's done.
Yeah, and I also think that we learned a hell of a lot. Mm-hmm. I think that for a lot of us, this is the first band we've ever been in, and this was the first time we've ever tried to make a record. And you know, a lot of the stuff that happened to us about a year and a half ago happened really quickly, and we weren't able to like really process it or be ready for it. And I think that because it took a while, it, you know, there were some things that might have hurt us, but ultimately I think it made us a much, much better band, in particular our live show. I mm-hmm. think that our live show over the last 5 months has gotten to a place that it's never been. And I think that wouldn't have been possible if we hadn't experienced some of the stuff that we did last year, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What I'm really excited about is like now that we have the record, like actually just getting out and touring and getting to a place, not that like, I don't think as a musician you ever really feel like you've ever have anything figured out. you're always kind of learning and getting better. And, you know, in the case of our band, we're always learning and always trying to get better because there's a lot of different ways.
Because our foundation is very rudimentary.
But I think that we're definitely a better band than we were a year ago. Mm-hmm. And I think that if we hadn't have gone through all this stuff, that things could have turned out differently. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So,
yeah. I mean, I think I agree with you that I think we really learned how to play. We became a live band last year, I think.
Yeah.
You know, not a lot of that happened in Seattle because we only played. But I mean, just the tours that we did do.
Yeah.
I think we actually learned how to.
And you know,
well, that's what it takes too, right? Is going out on the road and playing those shows like what almost every day, right?
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, and on some of the tours, I mean,
he's
right that we all came back and worked our day jobs, but
mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm. But now, you know, now that we have like a 2 month tour ahead of us, we haven't gone out for that long before, but we have done, you know, 3 week runs, mm-hmm. and so we do have an idea of what that's like, and we got to do things like play Sasquatch.
I saw you guys on the main stage last year.
Yeah. So
why didn't you say hi, dude?
I think we may have texted back and forth too when you guys were you were up on stage, you were singing and you were texting.
So you know, like,
which was this
commendable, by the way.
So we still got to do a lot of really high profile things that year. It just so happened that we didn't really do a lot of stuff in Seattle.
Right.
And so I think the thing that, another thing that was really positive about last year is we were able to, with the tours that we did do, we were able to kind of put our foot in other markets. Like we're now at the point where we can play decent sized clubs in Portland mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. San Francisco and LA and in Denver. And, you know, and that wouldn't have happened if we just put out a record now and this was our first tour.
Right.
Like all of that infrastructure has kind of happened as a result of us like getting out and doing it.
So let me ask you. Oh, go ahead.
To answer your question, I think that we are in this.
Yeah. Will you please? I mean, he didn't answer anything.
I gave you gold.
I mean, we are, you know, we are very excited about what's coming down the pike, you know, for the rest of the year in the same way that I think we were then. But now we have a better idea about it. And I think we're ready for it mm-hmm. where I think before it could have been a total shit show from hell.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so, I mean, basically what I'm picking up here is that as a band, you guys have massively matured.
Yeah,
from where you were starting out,
I think so,
and that's a good place to be, right?
I mean, don't give us that much.
Yeah,
credit.
Don't give us that much
massively.
You still have to study up on your astronomy.
Yeah.
It sounds like, but you know,
there are a ton of different ways to spin it too. I mean, it did take us a while, but we also, because we had time, we were able to start working on other songs too. Mm-hmm, so we have been able to add some new stuff to the set. We've been able to like kind of make our sound a little more cohesive. And I think all those things are really positive. I mean, I think that we're going to really push this record as much as we can, excuse me, and tour it. And then hopefully, you know, when this cycle's over, we'll get back in the studio and be able to turn around a second record fairly quickly.
Excellent.
That's something we're excited about.
Yeah. Do you have enough material now for a second full?
We're getting close. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Nice.
So
it's just important to finish those details in the mind's eye. Anyway.
Oh yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Definitely.
It's done, baby.
Yeah. I was waiting for when you were going to call me baby.
Yeah. So that was our approach to the first record, and you saw how short that took. So it was all done mentally first.
Yeah, totally. So let me ask you guys this, and this is something that that was brought up in an episode a while back with Eric Blood, that Seattle definitely has a scene here. And Eric brought up the fact that there is somewhat of a Seattle bubble. And it sounds like you guys have made it out of that, right? You've been able to kind of expand.
Don't count any chickens.
Expand your reach. You know, you're able to play, you know, good sized shows down in Portland and San Francisco, which is a huge
feat. We've had some extremely fortunate opportunities.
Yeah. But in your experience, is that a thing? Have you guys seen that? Like the Seattle bubble? Have you been afraid of it as well?
I guess I don't quite know what that's referring to, just in terms of like how you can't get out of here.
Yeah, like how, you know, because the music community and the people who go out to see music in Seattle
are very, very supportive. Yeah.
I don't know if that's, it might be, but I don't know if that's unique to Seattle, that it's difficult to get out of Seattle. I think it's difficult to get out of any city. Yeah. I think just sort of like as an abstract, like as a musician, you know, unless you have either a song or a video or something, you know, or some shtick that like gets people interested in you know, beyond just being able to come see you live or buy your records at the local record store.
Right.
I think it's pretty hard. Yeah. I mean, it takes money and, you know, you need to be able to book shows and you have to, I don't know if that's unique to Seattle. I think it's just, it's hard to get out.
I would say that's probably something that exists everywhere.
Yeah.
I think I probably would agree with him in the sense that Seattle's lucky that, people do support local bands so much, but I would say the flip side of that is because there is such a great infrastructure here in Seattle for like having KEXP here and having, you know, just a number of clubs that you can play at. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that it does make Seattle maybe an easier city to get out of than others. Like,
that's what I was going to say. And there's such an influx of people doing stuff like exactly what I'm doing here. Yeah. Having musicians, local musicians, out of town musicians come on and talk about their music and stuff like that. There's so many people that are excited about music here in this town that I think that kind of overinflate things a little bit, you know, but yeah.
I mean, well,
I'm sorry I cut you off there.
Oh, no, it's fine.
Use us as a guinea pig, Aaron. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
Test this theory, science man.
Doc Brown.
I'm going to put a little poo particle in your eye, and I want to see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see how long the pink eye lasts, and then you'll know if we're what kind of band we are.
You were saying, Michael?
Oh,
I'm sorry.
I lost my train. you had me at poop particle.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting, though. I don't know. I don't know if it's unique to Seattle.
Yeah. I mean, I would think that it would, I mean, I don't know. Just because of the opportunities here, I would think that it would be easier to get out of Seattle than it would be to get out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, or something like that.
Probably.
You know what I mean?
I've heard
just the history of music in this town as well.
And I've heard rumors, you know, that like because of Macklemore's success, like people are sniffing around here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
But
I would think so. No.
Yeah. I don't know.
You know.
yeah. So what? Let's talk about the album here. Can't Talk Medicine. I've been listening to it a lot. I really like it. I like the whole thing.
Thank you.
Thanks, Aaron.
Is there any? You're welcome. You're welcome, guys. Yeah. Is this like a concept album, kind of?
No. But there, you know, there's a lot of concepts that go into it.
Yeah, baby. Yeah. Baby. Again with the babies.
I mean, no, it's not like start to finish like some rock opera or something. Mm-hmm. But it is like a collection. It's like a book of short stories or something.
Okay. Yeah. Because usually when I was listening to the album and I hear like the short intros and stuff that of like different sounds and you know, studio chatter and stuff like that, I always kind of, it brings like concept album to my mind.
Okay.
But I really like what you guys have done.
I think we definitely wanted to have an arc, you know, and sort of start and go somewhere. And those moments are part of that.
Yeah, definitely.
I think one thing that we really tried to do was, because it was all recorded at home, we tried to like bring the personality of the house that it was recorded in into the recordings, if that makes any sense. So a lot of the found audio bits are from one of the guys who lived at the house. He just like goes to Goodwill and like steals tapes from
steals them
from answering machines. He'll just lift them.
Oh, really?
And so he has this crazy collection of all these really interesting found audio bits. And he has them all cataloged and stuff. I mean, he has hours and hours and hours of that. We only used a few clips here and there, just to kind of give him a little bit of a wink, but like that was just a little tiny part of the record that we wanted to, or a little tiny part of the house that we wanted to include in the record, just to kind of put our own little personal touch on it.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. But I mean, one thing that was cool about recording at home was, everything is done at that house, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the drums were tracked in the living room that's carpeted, like we did background vocals in the kitchen. And that's the same house where we practiced down in the basement. You know, we have meetings and fights upstairs.
We get naked, you know. We bring our Boba Fett costumes over.
There you go.
Bringing it all back.
that was part of, you know, we wanted that to be communicated somehow with that studio chatter and stuff.
Yeah.
And what was, like, and I was telling Michael this when he got here before you got here, Galen, that,
I was late.
Yes, you were. Just a little bit. Not too bad. What was the thought behind re-recording some of these songs, like Hacienda Motel?
I mean, I think
were you guys afraid that it might turn out differently or anything like that? Because personally, I like the original one off of the Myths EP better.
Well, I think you just drew a line.
Yeah.
You just started a big brawl.
There's the line.
Yeah.
You going to cross it, bro?
I think that when we were recording Myths, we did them, you know, we did each 7-inch like in a weekend recording them, and then we just would mix over some time. So I think we wanted another chance at recording those songs and kind of try to update some of the sounds do things the way that we kind of, you know.
And I guess I shouldn't say I like the original version better. It's just different. It's definitely a bit different.
No, I mean, we kind of talked about it and anticipated how people in Seattle, with that song at least, are sort of at a disadvantage, you know, because that song has been around here for 2 years.
Yeah. But if you're here, like one thing that we were thinking about is, like, this is our first record that's going to be kind of distributed nationally.
Right.
And
right.
So, like, we're hoping that people are going to be hearing about us for the first time, like, this year. And so for those people who have never heard us before... Yeah. You know, that what happened with you isn't going to be the same thing.
No, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
So that was kind of our thought behind it. And also, too, it was really important that, like, the way that we recorded all the other songs, like, has a certain aesthetic vibe to it. And if we use the Myths recordings, they would sound totally out of place.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they would sound totally separate from the rest of the record. So,
right, yeah.
So that
yeah.
was kind of...
I guess
kind of why we decided to do that.
Yeah.
And
the
maturation process Michael was talking about earlier, I think is evident on the new record where, I mean, like at least me listening, there are things that I like about Myths, but then there, you know, I think I kind of learned how to sing in the time between Myths and the record.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
I don't think I really had any concept of what the hell I was doing before.
I think you did.
Just grabbing your balls and going for it.
Yeah, that is what my teacher tells me to do. She's like,
that's all there is. That's all there is to it.
You want to make your voice higher?
Just use your diaphragm and grab your balls.
You go to voice lessons in like a weird seedy part of Brooklyn.
Yeah. My cousin Vinny is the teacher. Right,
you busting my balls? I'll bust your balls. You'll sing the falsetto. Bust your balls.
That was good.
That was pretty good. That was pretty good.
God, I wish Marissa Tomei was here.
Oh, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Or 1987 Meg Ryan.
I'm going to go.
Don't get me started on City of Angels,
Aaron. I'm more of a 1992 Tiffany Amber Thiessen guy myself.
Okay. Yeah.
But, so Hacienda. I respect your position on Hacienda, though.
Yeah, yeah. And like I said, I didn't mean to, you know, it came out wrong, me saying that I like it better. I just am more familiar with it.
Totally.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They're both good versions.
I think that's only natural. I mean, I've felt that way about music myself. It's like you get used to hearing something a certain way and then
Yeah. Yeah.
You totally. Become outraged.
Like when Def Leppard
tweaks with it.
Yeah. Absolutely outraged.
Like when Def Leppard decided to give the middle finger to iTunes and re-record all that. Oh, God.
Oh,
I was so
man.
Pissed.
Have you heard
so
any of
angry.
That?
No, I'm not going to listen to that.
So what's going on? What's going on with label stuff? How are you guys going to work this full length?
So we signed a deal with Dine Alone Records. Mm-hmm. For distribution in Canada.
Awesome.
Which was really great. I think it's going to help us out a lot up there. We're about to do a big tour in April where we kind of do all of Canada and the East Coast and the Midwest of the U.S. So that'll be great to have kind of the support of a label for another country. But as far as the U.S., we're going to start out just putting it out on our own. Mm-hmm. And
you going to pay for distribution?
Yeah,
or
we've paid for everything ourselves.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Good job, guys.
Thanks.
Yeah.
And, you know, going back to your question earlier about last year, that was another, like, really positive thing about last year was that because we did all this touring and we kind of got to work outside of Seattle.
Right.
We had all of our day jobs and stuff to come back to. We were able to save all the money that we made touring and just like kind of build that up. And so when we got back, we had, not a lot of money, but we had some money that we could actually put back into the record. And
it was enough money that when our manager sent us the budget for the record release, we all just didn't,
we didn't jump off a bridge.
We didn't lose stool.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. We were actually like, we looked at it and we were like, this is what it would cost to like have a record come out nationally.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were like, we can do this.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so we've decided to just start out putting it out on our own to start.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens. I think, we were lucky. We've had a couple offers, and we're just waiting for it to feel right.
Know? Yeah. I get that. Yeah. I think that's great. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I hope for, the best for you guys and am still continue to be very excited about your band and, where you guys are going to go. So
thanks, dude.
Don't forget about the little guy. Yeah. Yeah.
What's your name?
I can't remember.
What's your name?
Yeah, yeah.
You even forgot yourself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just don't even care anymore. Yeah.
No, we're excited. We're excited to get out and go tour, and this is the product of our work from the last year. So
yeah.
We're excited to see how it's received. And
I mean, I felt that way. We had a practice a couple nights ago where we kind of finalized our set list for this tour.
Mm-hmm.
And just like having a certain flow to our set that feels new and exciting, I don't know, has gotten me personally really excited about going out on the road. Because I think that our record has a certain aesthetic to it, but I think live, another side of us kind of comes out. And I'm excited for people to see us live.
Well, you guys put on a great live show.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, yeah. I've always enjoyed seeing you guys play live. And it was fun to see you guys on that big stage, that big main stage at Sasquatch. Are you guys going there this year?
No,
we're doing something else that we can't talk about yet.
But, oh, really?
Yeah, but it'll be fun.
Okay.
It'll be great.
Cool. Yeah. Well, let's pimp your wares here. Where can we find you on the internet? Where can we get the album?
Our website is www.pickwickmusic.com. And you can find us on Facebook and Twitter.
Okay.
And you can buy the record on our website, or it's distributed to the coalition of independent record stores all throughout the country too.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah.
So here in Seattle, you'll be able to get it at Easy Street and
Sonic Boom and all those places.
It'll be serviced at Silver Platters too.
And Silver Platters,
yeah.
But you can also buy it on iTunes and Amazon.
Yeah.
And big stops along the way of the tour coming up. You guys are going to be in Idaho for the Tree Fort Festival.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And where else? While I go off my finger.
We're doing South by Southwest.
Excellent.
We're playing a festival, I can't think of the name of it, in Memphis.
Beale Street.
Yeah. Oh, man, that'll be fun.
Festival in Memphis. I think we're playing in Winnipeg, Canada. I think it's the Winnipeg Folk Festival.
Something like that. We're playing New York for the first time. We're playing, Chicago,
Philly, D.C.
Yeah, all these,
wonderful.
All these
wonderful
markets on the East Coast we've never played, so we're going through there for the first time.
Excellent.
So that'll be exciting.
So go to pickwickmusic.com and check this out. See when they're coming towards you guys. Well, thanks again, guys.
Thanks for having
us. Yeah, it's been a real pleasure.
It's been a joy.
A real great
callback. Yeah. I love it. I love having you guys on. Isn't that
the crux of all comedy?
What's that? The callback?
I don't know.
Did you do any calling back during your live set?
No.
I thought the crux of all comedy.
You
was
maybe
the
I
should
have established anything
maybe
that
I should
was funny
have
at the beginning.
Yeah, it was just all non-funny. I mean, yeah. Yeah. We're probably going to get some emails saying, yeah, you probably shouldn't have done that joke.
Yeah. I say do the joke. I mean, we're going to start putting studies out to see who believes what.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to get this reined in for you.
I still don't know about that pink eye thing.
You guys are going to go around the country and maybe just ask each audience, you know, how they get pink eye.
We'll nightly report our polling numbers to you.
Because in any given audience, there's at least three or four people with pink eye.
Who's got pink eye?
And there's one guy in the back. Yeah. I am proud.
Yeah. And then just the circle just opens up around that dude.
Of course, he came alone.
Yeah.
Exactly. He's a scientist.
He's crazy. Yeah.
He's wearing sweatpants.
God,
that's
a
juicy on the butt, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
They're so comfortable.
Yeah. Let's go get into some right now.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks again, guys. It's been a pleasure talking with you. And you can find us at air-raid.net, also on Stitcher and iTunes, and at the all-new CairoRadio.com. We'll be back next week with the man himself, the creator, the runner of things at Sasquatch. Adam Zaks is going to be joining us here in the dining room studio, so make sure you tune into that. And remember, check out our archives page. We've got we've had Pickwick on before. They talked about a weird dream that their keyboardist had.
That was great.
Yeah, that was a good one, right?
I don't remember that at all.
I'll tell you later.
Yeah.
It's documented forever. So.
It's forever on the internet. Poor guy. He's okay. Macklemore and Bob Saget and Dana Gould, Pete Holmes, John Roderick, Damian Jurado. Go check that out at air-raid.net. All right. Thanks for tuning in this week, everybody. Have a good one. And be safe out there? I don't know. This is Pickwick, Brother Roland. Have a good week. My greatest future hits. I sit down.